Hello, and thank you for joining us for another episode of That Solo Life, the podcast about PR pros and marketers who work for ourselves. I am Michelle Kane. My company is Voice Matters, and I am here, as always, with my fantastic co-host and podcast partner in crime, Karen Swim. She is the head honcho of Solo PR Pro, which is a phenomenal trade, membership organization, we'll call it that. That really brings the smartest staff meeting ever and all kinds of good things. How you doing, Karen?
I am doing well, Michelle. Good. Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, all things considered, I'm doing well. Just to let our audience know, we are recording this on the 30th of September, which happens to be International Podcasting Day. So, woohoo!
Yeah. Yay. It's also the day after the first presidential debate here in the United States. So it might be a little bit of a post-debate hangover day.
Oh,
is that a thing?
That's definitely a thing in my world. And I had an early call time this morning to follow up on something for a client. And yeah, I was debating. Should I watch? Will I get too annoyed? All of those things came true. So, yeah. So, you know, without getting into the voting aspect of it, for lack of a better way of putting it, in my feeble debate hangover mind, just communication. Yeah.
Honestly, Michelle, I feel like any election cycle is an exciting time for communicators from a professional standpoint.
It is.
Because we are treated to just a bevy of communications tactics, and we get to watch things from, if we can take the emotion out of it, from a critical eye. And I'm always looking, as we all are, I think that we watch things differently. Yes, we watch for our personal reasons, but we also watch from the professional standpoint. And there's always lessons to learn. There's lessons to learn about how you message things. There's lessons that you can pass on for media training to clients. And then with the written word, there's, you know, tips and pointers, because, you know, election messaging is always very passionate. It's very pointed, and the cadence is definitely pushing the limits of comfortability. Comfortability, is that a word? I don't know.
It can be.
Pushing the limits of comfort.
No, it's so true, and it's funny that you point that out, because I was aware of that on a certain level, but now that you've said it out loud, that we do watch these things differently. It's almost like if you're I once heard Daryl Hall say that, you know, it's difficult for him sometimes to enjoy music because he's kind of dissecting it and thinking about it as he's listening to songs. And we are the same way. You're right. We're always critiquing, you should have cut in this way, or, you know, you should have made that point, or, well, that would have been a great opportunity to pivot and go to this message. And so it's so interesting, and, you know, I'll make my own word, nerderific, on that level. Word nerds unite.
I completely agree. And you know, I may say this a couple of times, because I understand that whenever we wade into the subject of politics, especially in the environment in which we live now, there tends to immediately spring up this partisanship. And that's not our job. We are not political pundits. We're not here to talk, you know, which party that you should support. We really are coming at this from the perspective of our job and what are some of the things that you can learn, you know. And, you know, also it's interesting to me as a communicator that there are moments during things like the debate where, as a communicator, you can point out something that somebody was trained to say and do.
Oh, yeah. We could see that from a mile away.
You could see it from a mile away. And I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not saying that the American public is also not smart enough to pick up on it, but, you know, I think that is, you know, for me, the takeaway in that is that you shouldn't be able to see it. Media training is not just about hitting your messaging and punching the message and staying on point and looking at the camera at the exact right moment. The next level of that is internalizing those things so that it's natural. So right. I always feel that you should be authoritative, confident, but approachable and natural. And so as a communicator, I should not see that. I should not say, oh yeah, the media person trained and they hit that note and the media person is probably somewhere going, you did it. But we all saw it.
Especially at the presidential level, you know, they're usually seasoned by now. You know,
but does that make you think of some of your clients? And I think another point specifically about, you know, live media interviews, speaking, you know, video interviews, broadcasts, is that it's really important to be really honest with a client who may never be a natural at media. So it's mm-hmm. really, you know, for me, it made me take a look and go, you know, there are some people that are so uncomfortable and they need so much prep that they're going to memorize the things that you told them and they're going to do them. But are they really going to come across as genuine and natural? Right. And that, in my mind, really is a special gift. We've all seen the most gifted of communicators who are able to do that and have you, you know, sit and listen and you're like, wow.
Story crafters, really. And
story crafters. Yeah. Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah. Yes. It's made my heart palpitate. Oh, I love a good story crafter.
And, you know, as we work with clients, you know, clearly being a spokesperson is not their number one job. You know, you might have a situation where you might have someone who's hierarchy within the company would make them the obvious choice, but you need to make sure it's, you know, that they can carry it off and it's not the end of the world if they can't, you know, and sometimes it takes a lot more, you know, it might take a different kind of tactic or just more work to make them feel more comfortable because you know that they're subject matter experts for sure, but, you know, they don't often have to talk about it. So, you know, you have to make that choice. Do we make someone else the spokesperson? And at the same time, you know, where they may feel a little more comfortable with something more scripted. Well, you know, unless you are a trained actor, that's not really going to come off as natural as well. So, you know, it's just taking the time to work with them and coach them and, you know, even make them feel comfortable in the moment, which sometimes that works better, to be honest. I've had situations with clients where it's like, you know, you just kind of coach them in the moment and then and that makes them feel more spontaneous. So they don't feel so, okay, this is what I'm trying to get across. It's like, no, I want natural you because that's the best you. That's the you that we see when the cameras are off and that's okay. You know, that's great. That's
absolutely.
You know,
I mean, as somebody who has done a fair amount of speaking and I hope that I am fairly articulate. There are some days on this podcast and I'm like, so boy, but, I've done, you know, broadcast interviews as well. I can attest to the fact that it is very different, being in an environment that's a little bit artificial.
Right.
So you have to find ways to really make that real and you have to block out the fact that it is an artificial environment. So if you're, you know, standing on a stage, whether it's for a debate or a presentation, a keynote, whatever, you really do have to focus on the person, the humanity of it all. And you have to talk to someone specific because it's always easier for us human beings to have a conversation than to feel like you have to be on.
So true.
And that takes some training and you may have to work a little bit deeper with some clients over others.
Right. And I think what helps is to stick to the rule of three, you know, especially if you're not used to speaking. And by the way, you are a phenomenal speaker. You do a tremendous job wherever you are. So stop.
Well, but, you thank know, you.
think of the rule of three, because if you're nervous about getting lost in the minutiae, and I know I've had moments where, you know, I've even done little Chamber of Commerce talks and you're talking and you're in your zone and all of a sudden you realize, oh my God, it's kind of like when you're driving and you don't realize how you got to where you got.
Yes.
You realize, oh no, where am I? So it just really helps to just keep in your mind, okay, today, no matter what, I'm going to get these 3 points across. And you know what you know best. So it doesn't matter if, oh, I missed that point on my notes. Don't stumble on that, right? Just stay focused on your 3 points that you want to make sure your audience walks away with. And it's okay. They're not keeping track of, you should have gotten to this before that. And you weren't going to give that example. They don't know. So it's, you know, really in times it just becomes, you know, more engaging than anything else than rather than reading an address.
I agree. Someone.
You know, it's not giving a speech. You're communicating actively. It's an active, living, breathing thing. And, you know, something else that we as communications pros need to consider, especially in this era of heightened sensitivity and polarization, is, you know, how often do you craft a message and you think, oh, okay, how's that going to ping with some people? Oh no, is that going to ping wrong here? You know, like we were talking off air that Karen, you were saying that you could state that I love, you know, rainbows and puppies. And well, now we've angered the cat contingent. Now what?
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, and one of the, you know, things after, you know, any type of media coverage or any type of messaging that communicators have to deal with is the afterburn. So it's, you know, now what happens on social media after that messaging is in the ether, whether it's a bylined article or, you know, a IG live or a social media post, you know, it doesn't even have to be something big. There's the afterburn. And we have to then contend with, how are people processing our message? Right. Because even if you hit all your message points and you have thoroughly researched and you make sure it's, you know, as Michelle said, you can say, I love rainbows. And someone would say, what about climate change? What about the polar bears? You insensitive idiot, you. So,
right.
One thing can potentially blow up. And so, we live in a time where I really do feel like our job as communicators is infinitely more complex than it has ever been. And it requires us to hone our skill set, make sure that we're not operating in a silo. I mean, I am a huge advocate for working in teams. And this is one reason you don't want to rely on just your expertise when it comes to getting this right and formulating a plan. Even if you just, you know, partner up with some colleagues to take a second eye to, you know, reach out to people that may have a different perspective. You need diversity of thought as a solo. I know that our solos do because we have the group. And so people, you know, turn to one another, and there is a diversity of experience and backgrounds. And so you're going to get a nice cross section of people that can help you to work through issues. But if you're a solo that's just out there, you know, head down working, I encourage you to diversify your own company with different schools of thoughts and opinions, because no matter what you say, no matter how well it's being said, everyone is not going to interpret your message the same way. Correct. This is a bigger deal than it ever has been, in my opinion, at any time in our history, thanks to the democratization of commentary because of social media.
Social media, yep. 100%, 100%. And also knowing that whatever you do say, it's being received through that person's personal lens, their worldview, their experiences. So you might say A, and they might be hearing H. You know, they might be hearing not a totally different message, but, you know, as you get feedback, you might think, huh, wow, that's not exactly what I was meaning to, you know, what I meant to convey. Why, you know, what makes you think that? Not that necessarily it's always a bad thing, but, you know, so going into thing, you know, going into any type of communication situation, just being aware of that, you know, mostly too, because, you know, we also need to give ourselves a little bit of a break of, you know what, I do the best, we're going to do the best we can in sharing this information, sharing our story, our viewpoint. I can't be entirely responsible for how you receive it, but I will take responsibility for ensuring that what I say is most beneficial.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and as PR pros, it's just exhausting, but we love it. We do.
We do love it. We do love it. And, you know, it's, I wish that more communicators could help to be at the forefront of our world right now, because I feel that if we understand this and we understand messaging, we understand the impact, and we look at the stuff, and, you know, the polarization that exists in the United States right now is largely because people are hearing different things. There's different takeaways depending on your beliefs and your values and perspectives, and it has reached a crisis level. Yeah. The United States of America definitely could use a crisis communication team stat.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
We're in trouble. We're in a lot of trouble. But I, you know, that's a topic for a whole different type
of show. Right, right, right. Yeah, we could get into, you know, it's, yeah, we've come a long way from Walter Cronkite delivering the news. There's that blurred line between pundit and news deliverer. And, you know, even the best of us, some days you're just like, can I stop? Can I just take the information? Do I always have to discern so much? You know, but anyway, that's just my lack of sleep talking.
I know we're all a little sleep deprived today, but we hope our dear listeners are faring well by the time they hear this. And even though by the time this airs, International Podcasting Day will be a distant memory, we certainly hope that that solo life remains firmly planted with a place in your listening library. And if you follow either Michelle and I on Twitter, and we encourage you to do both, at Voice Matters and at Karen Swim and at Solo PR, follow us, because throughout the day, and it'll remain on our feed, we'll try to share some podcasts, other podcasts that you should add to your listening library. And also we share a lot of other stuff as well. So follow us.
Yes, please do. Please do. And make sure you subscribe to our podcast. That would mean so much to us. And if this content is meaningful to you, please share it. Sharing is caring. And we are we're so grateful that you take the time to either subscribe or tune into us. So until next time, thanks for listening to That Solo Life.